We Discover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And I'm so glad you're able to join us today as we start a new series called Holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 16. It says, "Therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Peter is quoting from the book of Exodus and Leviticus, where God already stated this. And again, I believe it's the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter anyway. And so God is re-emphasizing a point and revealing a principle that applies not just in the old, but under the new. And that is that God is a holy God. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6. And it says, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So the Bible says that we are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And in the book of Leviticus chapter, or as my little girl used to say, Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2, and it says, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" And so God reveals part of his nature to us through this statement by declaring that I'm a holy God. And Leviticus 20 and verse 7, "Consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am the Lord your God." Verse 26 of chapter 20, "And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine." And so God wants us to be his and his alone. And chapter 21 and verse 8, "Therefore you shall consecrate him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctify you, am holy." God has given a simple but direct command to all who follow him, and it is, be holy. This is a command, not a suggestion, one that applies to all who desire to follow him. It's not an optional extra in the service of God, but an absolute prerequisite, because we don't follow God on our terms, we follow him on his. And he says to be holy. It's interesting, he didn't say be happy or be healthy, but be holy. And of course, I'm not saying that the others aren't important, but it does seem clear that God places great importance on holiness. Psalm 93 and 5, "Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever." The word holy is kadosh in the Hebrew, which means sacred, ceremonially or morally. It means an angel, a saint, a sanctuary, a holy one. And it comes from the Hebrew kadosh, which means to be or make or pronounce clean, ceremonially or morally. And again, both would say both go together. It means to appoint, to dedicate, to hallow, to be kept holy, a holy place, to keep, prepare, purify, sanctify. And so there's an almost otherworldly feel to this word or concept. This is why, as I proceed, I want to make a distinction between positional holiness and practical holiness, because when you get saved, you're holy in a positional sense. Colossians 1 and verse 22, "In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." The NIV, "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body, through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." And the New Living, "Now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." Isn't that wonderful to consider, that we stand before God without a single fault? Because of Christ and the cross, we have been declared holy in God's eyes. So again, we are holy in a positional sense, and yet you may still be unholy in a practical sense, in that there may be many areas where God wants to change you and make you more like him. Now, that alone will set some of you free from shame, despair, and condemnation, to realize that God is working on you. And so say to yourself today, God is not finished with me yet. Because I appreciate in our modern world there's a coarseness and vulgarity that has crept into our society, and none of us are exempt from its corrosive effects. It's indicative of the spirit of our age, where we celebrate that which is unholy. Our TV, our movies, laced with bad language and, ungodly content, social media. And in view of that, it makes talking about the subject of holiness seem almost ridiculous. And so, is holiness redundant? A leftover from previous generations that weren't enlightened by the sexual revolution? Or is it a kingdom principle that we neglect or have forgotten, one that has kept us from intimacy with God and influence with men, and left the church in a place of relative ineffectiveness? For when you consider previous moves of God, any honest person would have to admit that we are far from where we need to be. How many of you have cried out like Gideon, Lord, where are the miracles? And we see this in the book of Judges, chapter 6. I love this story because, Gideon is used by God to do some amazing things, and yet, notwithstanding that, Gideon is very real and down to earth. And really, we see that in this first encounter that Gideon has. And the angel of the Lord, verse 12, chapter 6, appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But then now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And so, God says, go in my might, go in my strength. And yet when Gideon encounters God, the first thing he asks are, where are the miracles? And you may feel like that in some way in your life. Any time now would be good to turn up so that I could pay these debts, or, so that, my body could be healed, or my marriage could be saved, or my kid could be delivered. And so, again, I do believe God wants to do miracles, but, we have to be in that place, like Gideon, where we are available and willing to be used in Jesus' name. And so Gideon was far from perfect, but God used him for his glory, and God used him to bring deliverance to his nation. We must have that same heart as Isaiah in chapter 6, when he cried out, "Here am I, send me." And so again, I hope you can join us again tomorrow as we continue our series called Holy, right here on UCB Ireland. God bless you.